This is Ozarks at Large. A battle over what could take place in Arkansas's courts in the future could be, emphasis right now on could be developing. The Arkansas Bar Association will discuss wording that could turn into a possible proposed constitutional amendment affecting many aspects of Arkansas's legal operations. There are many hurdles to clear before the concept is actually on the ballot in November 2018, but John Brummett from the Arkansas Democrat Gazette is intrigued by the possibility. This week, Roby Brock from our partner Talk Business and Politics talked with Brummett about national politics and the possible state constitutional amendment. John Brummett says a system is in place to allow members of the bar to examine proposals ahead of the bar's annual convention.
Next month, the bar convention will meet in Hot Springs. The House of Delegates will assemble at that time, and the rules require that 30 days before the House of Delegates meets to consider anything, a proposal has to have been given notice of 30 days. So mailings went out today from Denise Huggard, the president of the bar, to members of the House of Delegates outlining this idea for major sort of omnibus constitutional reform as an answer to the tort reform proposal. It's a compilation of changes in the state constitution that would include forbidding damage caps and leaving rulemaking on the judicial branch with the Supreme Court, but it would also do other things like require disclosure of dark money in state races and cap dark money in judicial races, a governor's veto, which can now be overridden by a simple majority, which renders it pointless, could only be overridden by two-thirds. GIF money, local project money, there would be an amendment to the Constitution that would expressly forbid directing an appropriation locally or through an agency, which would put that out of business. It would restore administrative rulemaking with state agencies and let the legislature review rather than approve, which took place a few years ago, and one other that I can't remember.
But no, I think you hit them all right there.
There are five proposals, what it's doing is it is a single proposed amendment, which would have one single comprehensive ballot title, but it would amend the Constitution in five different places to do those things. So it would take on the business community and the nursing home and the medical community's tort reform proposal head on, but then it would have a lot of other things.
Do some of the good government things that you've seen a lot of progressive groups and causes out there promoting the last couple of years. So how confusing is all of that going to be for a voter to read that ballot title and understand what's going to be on? That would be the obvious legal challenge, would it not?
Well, it's going to be confusing on its face in that we have a tort reform proposal and we have another proposal that bans that kind of tort reform but also does many other things. I've never seen an amendment in this form, and it remains to be seen. I mean, having never encountered anything quite like this that makes four or five separate amendments or changes in the Constitution, I don't know how people will respond to it, but it depends on, the debate will be interesting. If the Bar Association chooses next month to propose this comprehensive five-plank amendment, will the debate, and then they get it on the ballot in 2018, will our dialogue and debate in the fall of 2018 be simply about tort reform? They want it, the lawyers are against it in that fight, or will the Bar Association be able to reframe the debate to have us talking about good government, like banning the local projects and disclosing contributors otherwise unknown to us in our races? So I've never seen a proposal quite like this. I've never seen a dynamic quite like this, but it's innovative and it's big. I mean, this is a battle royal if it happens. If you've got the nursing home and the medical industries on one side and the law and the legal industry on the other, and if you're proposing to make five rather significant changes. I mean, it sounds simple. Rather than override a governor's veto by a simple majority, it takes two-thirds. That changes the whole dynamic of a governor's power and governor and legislature relations. So we'll just have to see if they have the nerve to put it on the ballot and get it there, and it'll be a fascinating
study. But there's some hoops that have to jump through. Number one, the Bar Association's delegates have to approve that they want to push forward on this, number one. And number two, Then you got to go collect signatures, mm-hmm. which is no small undertaking, and then not necessarily
an
a guarantee
of money and manpower
of success. And then you got to survive the legal challenges to possibly get it.
You have
off.
To. The House of Delegates would have to say, "Yeah, we want the Bar Association to do this." Then you would have to get Attorney General Rutledge to approve a ballot title that she would consider, and they want to keep it short and understandable, but which would cover all, which is a trick, cover all five proposals. Then that done, you begin the real work of signatures, and then you begin a campaign. So we're far from having the battle royal, but it's interesting that the Bar Association has the idea percolating, and it's going to be on the agenda next month in Hot Springs at their convention.
We had a lot happening last week on the national stage. Sally Yates, the acting attorney general, testified before a congressional committee. That in and of itself would have been enough to dominate a week's mm-hmm. worth of news, but not in the Trump era, because by midweek you have the James Comey firing. We saw Sean Spicer hiding in the bushes, Sarah Huckabee Sanders standing behind the lectern there.
Getting portrayed on Saturday Night Live.
Trump talking about canceling press briefings by the end of the week. This has been one of the more bizarre weeks in the Trump campaign. Would you not agree?
Well, that's a high bar, a bizarre week in the Trump era. But yeah, this sudden firing of Comey, and apparently an afternoon's fit of pique by the president because he was tired of seeing Sally Yates on TV and tired of looking bad in his favorite pastime, which is watching all the cable channels. And so he gets this letter and he writes it and he claims it's based on an attorney general's recommendation, an assertion he took back or contradicted the next day, has his bodyguard send it over to the FBI while Comey is not there. He's in Los Angeles at a meeting in a conference room with some FBI people, and a runner on the TV screen behind him announces that the president has fired him.
He thought it was a joke. He
did.
Thought it was a prank they were playing on him.
And it was there was a great moment in Saturday Night Live when the actor portraying Lester Holt during the interview with Trump is sitting there and asks Trump a question, and Trump says, "Yeah, I was going to fire him anyway because of this Russian deal." And Lester speaks into his IFB, is looking to somebody, the director says, "So have I got him? Have I got him?" And he hears back, "Not anymore. Nothing matters anymore." And I think that with Trump, it's things that would weeks ago, months ago, have destroyed any politician in sight. Now we don't know if it does. It's just, the rules are so different with his behavior and his eccentricity that we can't. Is this a new level of misbehavior and outrage that moves the debate, hard to say because we just don't know, and you can't really get to the bottom of it. I mean, was he obstructing justice by firing the guy in charge of the, not if the new guy continues the investigation? And is firing Comey a bad thing? Democrats say, yeah, because of the timing, but by the way, we wanted him fired last year this. So it's unlike anything I've seen.
John Brummett is a political writer for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. His columns can also be read at arkansasonline.com. He talked with Roby Brock from our partner Talk Business and Politics, and you can see more from that conversation at talkbusiness.net. You can also find out much more about state issues around the clock there and find a daily podcast about Arkansas business and politics at talkbusiness.net. This is Ozarks at Large.